You all are doing something remarkable right now. We talk about what it means to keep the main thing at Christmas, and even for gathering and worship, we are doing something to keep Christ at the center of our thoughts and our celebrations, and so I think that's commendable. You can do that with the Advent devotionals. You can do that through service, the Angel Tree. There are all kinds of ways that you can push back on what feels like a tidal wave of all kinds of other messages that come at us during this time of year. One thing that I'm going to do at the end, really, wink, wink, before the end of this service, my family, we're leaving to go up to Presbyterian College for their annual Christmas concert. They put it in the middle of the afternoon, which is good for getting home, but not good for getting there. So you'll see me run off in a little bit. One of the things that we have been talking about is this question, what do you fear? What do you fear? What do you fear? We've been meeting people along the way. John the Baptist is who we'll look at today. But the idea is that if we learn about ourselves and the message of Christmas by asking that question, what do you fear? Last week, we looked at Zechariah, who lived in the time of Herod. And we're fast-forwarding now because we're looking at John the Baptist, who is Zechariah's son. And John the Baptist encounters Herod as well. It's a different Herod. It is Herod Antipas, that is Herod the Great's son. John the Baptist is in jail. He's in jail because he, in a very public way, called out Herod Antipas about some moral failings in his life. Herod Antipas decided that he wanted to be married to his brother Herod Philip's wife. And so, somehow, the power of Herod, he called her over and married her. Well, John the Baptist said, if you're going to be king of the Jews, then you can't be openly violating the commandments in this way. Well, Herod Antipas didn't like that public confrontation, and so he threw John the Baptist in jail. So we are a generation after what we looked at last week, Zechariah and Herod the Great. Now we are looking at their two sons, John and Herod Antipas. So I'm going to read from the first five verses here in Matthew chapter 11. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and poor have good news preached to them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I think I want to start today with a question. What does John fear? What does John fear? A little bit about John. John and Jesus were cousins. John and Jesus would have been connected to each other as they grew up, different towns, but we know that they would have intersected before the moment of Jesus' baptism. John understands his role, I think. I think John understands his role as a fulfillment of the prophecies to be the one who is getting everybody ready for the coming of the Messiah. You can tell that because of John's demeanor. You can tell that because of what John wears and what John eats. John is functioning like the Elijah who is prophesied, whose job it was to get people ready for the coming of the king. You can see it in what John says when he's out baptizing people, getting them ready, because Jesus shows up and he's already said, "Somebody is coming after me, and I'm not even qualified to mess with his shoelaces." Jesus shows up and John says out loud for people to hear, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So I think you can make the case that John knows the identity of Jesus. He knows he's the Messiah. And if John knows that Jesus is the Messiah, then it gives him meaning and purpose. It gives him an identity because he knows what his job is in relation to Jesus the Messiah. His job is to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. But now, by the time we get to chapter 11 in Matthew, John is in jail. And back to the question, what does John fear? I think the first answer to that question is not very much. He doesn't fear very much because in a world of people that are afraid of the Herods and their dynasty, John presents himself as one who is not afraid to speak up, to speak truth to power. Historians have commented that in these days it would have been better to be Herod's pig than Herod's son, because the Herods were so fragile about their kingdom and their being king. They were ruthless. This is the same dynasty that with Herod the Great heard about the birth of a child who might be the king of the Jews, and in order to eliminate the threat, do you remember what Herod did? He issued that edict that all those children in Bethlehem should be killed. But what does John fear? John doesn't seem to be afraid of Herod because he publicly calls him out about his moral failings. But John is nervous about something. You can see it in the question that he asks. He sends word to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" I think John is afraid that if Jesus is not the one, then he has gotten it all wrong. If we unpack that a little bit, if John is misunderstood about who Jesus is, then everything that John himself has devoted his life to, everything that John has bet, everything that John has oriented his life around has not been true. It's been a lie. If Jesus is not the Messiah who has come, then that means not only is everybody confused about who Jesus is, but now John has an internal confusion about who he himself is. We might say that John has this moment where he's afraid. Have I been barking up the wrong tree? So I want you to put yourself in John's shoes for a moment. You're coming to a point in your life when you have lost your sense of identity. You're coming to a point in your life when you are wondering if the purpose that you defined for yourself is a noble cause. You're coming to a point in life where you wonder if you have gotten it right or you've gotten it wrong. And I think that's John's fear. So to address that fear, he sends word to Jesus, "Are you the one?" Now look how Jesus replies. And this is great because Jesus says, "You go tell John what you hear and what you see, that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." Isn't this interesting that Jesus could have just immediately said to John, "Yes, of course I'm the Messiah," and he doesn't do that. Part of it is because he still wants to keep his identity a little bit shielded. But there's another reason that he answers the way that he does. Jesus says, "Here are the markers of my life that identify me as the Messiah. I'm not just going to say yes, I'm going to give you evidence that I am who I say that I am." and that you are who you believe you are to be. Jesus says, you know that I'm the real deal by the way that I am with the marginalized. You know that I'm the real deal by the way that I am with the people who are on the edges. And I want to say this. I think John's confusion is probably a result of disappointment with the kind of Messiah that Jesus was. Everybody who believed a Messiah was coming expected the Messiah to function in a very different way than Jesus is functioning. John, along with a lot of other people, probably wanted a top-down Messiah. What that means is he probably wanted someone to show up who is the rightful king to walk up into the halls of power, to lead some sort of political revolt and put Herod and his dynasty in his place, put the Romans and their control back in their place, a top-down rebellion. That's probably what John thought would be the most noble and good thing for the Messiah to do. And the reason I think that is because that's how John himself confronted the power of the Herods, by publicly calling them out. John said, if you want to be the king of the Jews, then you better start acting like it. But that's not the way Jesus is. Jesus has been teaching, and he's been living a different version of the kingdom. He's been teaching a way of life, and he's been teaching a kind of kingdom where the Messiah doesn't run up into the throne room to confront the tallest person in the room. Instead, Jesus has been teaching and been living a version of a kingdom where the king moves around on the edges, where the king sees and hears the blind and the lame and the lepers and the deaf and the dead and the poor. So here, John, who is wondering about his own identity and about his own purpose, is being redirected by Jesus in this answer. Jesus is saying to John, yes, I am the Messiah, but you need to understand, this is the kind of Messiah that I am. Now, you know that there's application here for us even today. I can think of at least three things. The first is, this is the answer to the question. Yes, Jesus is the Messiah. He is who he says that he is. And C.S. Lewis, writing about this, says that if Jesus is who he says that he is, then there is no question about how we should and can respond. If Jesus is the Messiah, if he is who he says that he is, then there's no question for us except to reorient our lives completely around his. That's the first application. And here's the second one, and this might be a little more personal for you. If you today are looking for identity and meaning and purpose, but you're doing it apart from him, then you are barking up the wrong tree. Because this Jesus, who is a Messiah, is the creator of you. This Jesus, who is a Messiah, is the redeemer of you. This Jesus, who is a Messiah, is the one who sustains you by the gift of his Spirit every moment of every day. You will not have lasting meaning and purpose apart from this Jesus. And here's the third thing. If you decide that you want to follow him, you will not find him in the halls of power. Because he does not lead a top-down revolution. If you want to find him, then you need to go to the edges of society. Who do you understand to be today's blind and lame and lepers and deaf and dead and poor? And I don't know exactly, but I can tell you that in the same way that he was then, he is today, he is among those people. And if you want to follow Jesus, then you'll go and be among them as well. I feel like this is a helpful reminder for us, because there's been so much attention lately about what's happening in the halls of power. And there probably is a place for a modern-day John the Baptist to stand up and speak truth to power in a way that demands accountability. But around here, what have you seen? You know that we've adopted a welcome statement to make very clear who we are talking about when we say we love our neighbor. You know that we've increased our capacity with our food pantry to address rising food insecurities. You know or may not know that we partner with Hispanic ministry among immigrant populations in Somerville that's coordinated through our presbytery, because we want to be a light of hope. You know that in the past months we've covenanted with Charleston Area Justice Ministry. And the reason we've done that is because in the coming year, one of the ministries that CAJM is going to take up is not just relieving the food insecurities of our neighbors, but digging down to some of the root causes of those food insecurities. You may know that in last years, we've ramped up Global Witness to be a neighbor to people that are far away from our doorstep. You may know that we've leaned in with Metanoia to learn about and address the problems of our right across the bridge neighbors. Do you know why? Do you know why we're doing those things? Because that's where our King is. If you are somebody today who is in or coming to or even facing the fear of, does my life have meaning? And does my life have purpose? Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? You're not the only one who has ever had to face that fear. John the Baptist is asking that same question. And the answer that he receives is that you will find what you are looking for when you go to where Jesus is. You go tell John what you have seen and what you have heard. You go tell John about Jesus on the edges of society with the blind and the lame and the lepers, the deaf and the dead and the poor. Because if that's where the King is, and that's where the ones who follow him want to be as well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.